The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Can we go? Can we go? Are we ready? Are we ready to go?
But what we do all the time is always try and have fun on every episode.
Yes, indeed. There's no stress. No stress like Made in Lagos.
No stress, basically. No stress.
Like Wheezy.
I listen to Made in Lagos every day.
Why?
That's amazing. Reckless. I listen to three songs in particular. Reckless, True.
There are no other albums to listen to. If you have albums, I can send you links. If you need albums.
All right, I want links.
I always wonder why only the same folks get played by individuals. You know, when people stream music, when you like a song, you stream it over and over again. And then there are artists who drop music who never get listened to.
That's true.
Let me just drop a few names. Joel Prodigy dropped something yesterday.
Joel the Prodigy, that's what I call him.
Yeah.
Joel the Prodigy.
A 6-track EP featuring just Psycho YP, that's one. There is Bosalin. Bosalin is an Igbo rapper. He joins the list of folks like El Victor. Folks like what's this guy's name?
Eriga.
Eriga is not exactly Igbo rapper. Like, Worry. There's a guy who was with them, Fino.
Zoro.
Yeah, Zoro.
I was about to think as I get money.
Zoro. So yeah, let's support those people too. But it's hard, man.
Yeah, it is. I think it's just
it's hard when a song is up there, when an artist is up there, it's easier for them to get bigger than for small artists to climb up there.
But that's like the hustle, though. I mean, I remember listening to Kendrick Lamar's album recently, and then that part from Dr. Dre, that's To Pimp a Butterfly, where it says. You remember when you came to the spot of mine? That's my house. And you say you wanted a spot like mine. Now, getting it is easy, but the hard part is keeping it.
It's to climb up.
Keeping it MF. I'm keeping it MF. So I think that also translates the fact that you can actually want something. I want to be up there, but it will take a lot of energy, a lot of time.
I just feel it's like radio too. The same way individuals stream music, you know, you listen to a particular song. I've been listening to a lot of Davies this year, and this year Davies is my SHXT, and then when I listen to that, I try to go to World Star Hip Hop YouTube. They drop new hip hop every day.
Oh, that's cool.
So I want to look out for the new guy, but then when I see a new song, it's not the same, because I know like maybe like 100 Davies songs and features that I've listened to.
Okay.
And then for you who are
100, are you serious?
Yes,
the number is correct.
Maybe not up to that, but including features. Survivor has like 10 songs. I've listened to Survivor album. Paranoia has like 12 songs. I've listened
to
Paranoia 2. Karma 3. I've listened to like 8 songs on Paranoia. And then he has made songs with, you know, Nas, Forbes list. He has done songs with Vado. He has features. Go to you. When you've watched one, they will suggest another one. When I'm on one artist like that, I want to search for more of that artist than finding out new person. It's hard to connect to somebody new, but as a music head, I want to listen to everything. You know, there's a new lady I just followed randomly on Twitter. I think her name is Etunde or Denike. Denike, yes.
Okay.
I saw she dropped an EP. And all of these small artists, you start to look at how many of them will climb up. Oh, God.
And the thing is, I remember when I read one book called...
Good news for people like Oxlade and, you know, Fireboy. They have now moved from underground to
like big
yes,
time
because
artists.
I was looking
especially
at
Oxlade.
The heady stage. I was looking... Look at the people who performed.
Yeah.
Bella Shmurda, Fireboy, Omalay.
Yeah.
You now see that right now there is a new generation
Of
who
musicians.
Are not struggling anymore.
I mean, look at
Thames has a song with Wiz, so they are now up there. Now there is another set of people coming up. Like
look at someone like Omalay, you know, from almost nowhere. Is on Times
Came
billboard
up. Yeah,
like Times Square billboard.
Yeah.
And that's massive for any artist, because when you look at it, you're like, there's always like a point, like a peak for all artists. And I think the peak for most artists is when your song is accepted by the entire world.
Yeah,
like when I mean entire world, obviously
the
we know
industry.
By now that we don't need to say you don't need to reach the Philippines.
Yeah,
you understand, but you can get.
But when
like,
the powers that be recognize your work,
they say this is critically acclaimed, and you feel like, okay, I've gotten to a point where it's cool for you to say, yes, I've done it, and I'm there right now. And also, I was going to say something while you were talking about musicians and how hard it is. I read a book called Cognitive Biases, Rough to Belly.
Is it music based?
It's not music based at all, but it was referred to me when I was listening to LD the Don. I think I've talked about this before on this podcast. And the very first thing he's talking about, like, that's one of the biases that we deal with, which is like when we feel like all things are going to happen a certain way, it's not possible.
Yeah.
And it's just like the music thing.
Mm.
If we're being completely sincere, music is not a job.
Really?
Yes, it's not.
But it is.
It is in the real context of the word.
When you say it's not a job.
But it's not a job in the fact that a job is like almost everybody can put in and get to the top when you put in as much as possible.
Okay.
Do you understand? It's like a regular job. I mean, if you want to be a VC, you know, you have to be a professor. You have to be this. That's like
you start with being maybe an accountant or a bosser, or there's registrar.
But there's a structure. There's a particular thing you have to do to get to your job.
Yeah.
But in music, it doesn't work that way.
You can say it's not a professional.
Exactly. That's the word.
Occupation.
Yeah. That's
but it's a job.
I'm trying to explain it in a particular context so people understand. Yeah. Like, it's not. Only few people are going to take it, are going to be on that level.
But then again, when you look at it, you can tell as a civil servant that you climb from level 7.
Exactly. And you know, the more degrees, certifications you get,
the more years you spend on the job.
The more the chances of getting there. So there's a pattern to climb. Yeah. But for music, I mean, look at music. Music is weird.
Can I create a pattern to climb for music?
There are patterns.
Yeah.
But they're like.
But then you need a lot of.
There's a whole lot of
good luck. Hands, you need grace. Good luck.
It's like this. We talked about Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa, she's an amazing artist.
And a rich kid too.
Yeah. Look at that. That's one spot that is already above a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Now Dua Lipa was performing in Champions League around like 22 or 23.
Mm.
And that's a stage a lot of people would not get to. Would never get to.
Wow.
It's the truth.
I remember a year Imagine Dragons performed at Champions League.
Yeah, yeah. So like stuff like that, you look at it and be like, what are the chances? When you think about it, I mean, this we hear it all the time, especially with the rappers. It's just that the game has changed. You know, like in the US now, you can be a rapper in a small community, and you're making a whole lot of bucks. Probably peddling drugs as well, but like you're also making a whole lot of
money
in the streets, or you're an artist and you're making money from like the music industry, because the music industry there is big, or you know, allows you to
accommodate a lot of people.
There are a lot of artists that if I call the name of some artists right now that are still running till date, a lot of people don't know who they are.
They might not be in the charts. Folks like NF randomly. NF is touring. He's probably doing tours, making a small cash. But he's not on Billboard, he's not on these top charts, he's not in top 40.
He's going to continue to make his money. I remember one time when I was younger, I used to see stuff like MTV Cribs and all that. I used to do MTV shows that time and talk about a lot of artists. And you'd see people like names that you're not even very familiar with. I remember the time I saw Red. And this guy is making bucks. He has money. He was rich, okay, to take care of almost a community. When I mean almost a community, I mean extended family. You know how black people are.
Yeah.
You have like the entire family with you, like 20 people, and they are eating off your table. And that's a whole lot. But when you come down here to like developing countries, first of all, we know in Africa, we have only to me, I believe, and I big respect to every other person, or big respect to every other industry, music industry in Africa.
Yeah.
But I only see two. Nigeria, South Africa.
Yeah.
Reason because these guys have stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Forever. You're talking about Solomon Linda, talking about Aide Bakari. These are people from way, way, way back. And they have continued to keep that level up. I mean, when you think about hip hop right now, you're coming to Africa. Big ups to Nigerian artists, but you want to go to SA.
Yeah.
Because those guys do pure stuff.
Yeah.
Like the hip hop is here.
I still don't understand. I don't exactly understand what the situation is when it comes to hip-hop in Nigeria and hip-hop in South Africa.
I think it's because they accept it more.
But before we go to that, we were talking about climbing. I just want us to wrap up on that. You said music is not an occupation.
I don't think it's a full-time job.
But I have seen, or I can say that, I can take a picture. If there's a small artist, there is a way to climb. It's going to be hard.
Okay.
It's like everybody hustling. Do your SWOT analysis. What is my strength? What is my weakness? Okay, I have a good voice.
Okay.
I don't have money to push. Let me be dropping on my social media. Let me be tagging folks. Let me be dropping on Olamide's Instagram. All of those things. You get.
But that's like.
But then you have a backup plan. Yeah. If music doesn't work in 5 years, I'll get back to tech. Well, I'll get back to whatever
tech,
can work.
Tech is amazing though.
So yeah, you really want to do this, but you have your plan. I don't have 500 million, or I don't have 2 million to do promotions over the next 2 years, but I have my social media, I have a few friends, and I'm going to push. So you know, you are going to write, you drop albums,
mm-hmm.
and then when you give yourself 6 years to try, and you have tried for 4 years and it's not looking like it, you already know how to exit. So I feel to climb, the same way the person who wants to become a professor gets the first degree, second degree, you are going to hustle your way
hustle,
up,
real hustle.
Up there. So the same way the artists start to, you know, collaborate, if you have to pay 100k for a feature, hustle it out. You know that this is the price. So when you get there, you get shows, and then God might bless you on your way hustling. Someone big in the industry might find you, this is a talented guy, let's do business. And then so that's why, from there, when you get to that position where you can tour yearly, drop albums, sell music online, whatever streaming money comes in, that's a job.
Yeah.
You wake up, you write music, you go to studio, that's a job.
So
that's the way I see it.
I think in that context of what you're talking about, it's perfect to say yes, it's a job. And I was also thinking about it now, and I'm saying, okay, music executives and all that, it's like real-time job.
I don't know if I told you, all the time, randomly, so. I was trying to get some things for an artist, and I see that, like, the show business is crazy.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people behind
every artist,
like, behind
needs
the
a manager.
I
look at the band. There was a time I saw Adekunle's band perform, and I saw like there were like 15 people on the band.
Yeah, yeah. And these guys are going to get paid every month.
39th Elements, I think that's the name. So I look at like the guitarist, the pianist.
They're all going to get paid.
They're traveling
month.
Together. Yeah. They have to get paid.
Yeah.
You understand? So families. So that's why when you say it's not a job, I'm like, yo, when you are there, when you are hustling, you might be a one man mopo and you might not see it as a job. But when you are there, everything has to be documented. You work with an agency that, you know, does your talent management, whatever that is. Everything is business. So you have to handle it as business.
But one thing I want to ask,
speaking about show business, it's hard out there, bro.
It's really
when
hard
when I hear what artists get paid, and then what they have to settle around. You have to settle management. If you're traveling,
it's a whole lot
travel costs. If you're moving with folks, you have to cater to those. Some artists, they are ready to perform for free. Just put me on that stage, sir. They say, okay, I want to perform. I'll perform two of my songs so that people just see me. Let me just see how this song connects with people.
Yeah.
And then you get to a level where you start to charge a million or 5 million or more.
I wanted to say something when you started talking, and I thought about something. First thing I thought about was Mother Teresa's quote that says, "Few of us are going to do great things, but all of us can do small things with great love."
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm dragging out of that is thinking about artists that are, you know, maybe like the guitarist of the band, or the drummer of the band, or the A&R, or the ghostwriter, or the sound engineer that does not get enough praise, or the mixer. You know, those are people that are doing stuff. They would probably never, like, some of them might never be like out there like the major producers that made the song or something, but they are playing their parts. And one way or the other, you can actually say, this is a professional job. So I think the context I was thinking about is, like, for somebody that is starting out, you can't say that is your job until you start making real big bucks and it's actually like a major thing for you. So anything before that time, you can say, it's a side piece, I'm currently working on it. Same thing in every creative industry, actually. I'm under the ideology that Nigeria climate it does not have room for so many creatives. So I'm not saying
it's the bigger picture.
I'm not saying that is the bad market. I'm just saying they don't have enough to Nigeria does not have enough to take a lot of creatives.
Yeah.
So I think that's why maybe some of us, it's cool for you to actually, you know, go around, look for greener pastures somewhere else, because you know it's not like your country cannot take all of you, but they don't have enough to take everybody. Do you understand? Because I mean, like, I stumbled upon a write-up of what happened when Rihanna was doing Man Down.
Yeah.
Def Jam paid the producer $750,000 for just producing and recording that song. $750,000 is a whole lot of money.
Let's not go to
we're not trying to go to this, but I'm like saying how much that is being put into music and how much creatives are being appreciated.
When you say creatives, how do you mean?
I mean creatives. The producer is a creative.
Graphic designer.
A graphic designer is a creative.
Album art
is a graphic designer. Yeah. Creative. Cinematographer, great, creative. An art director.
Yeah.
Very important part. We don't take them a whole lot here. dancers are creatives.
Makeup artists,
creatives. Real director creatives. Now, Nigeria is such a... Like, in the US, we have stuff like DOP and director and art director on the same set.
Hmm.
In Nigeria, one guy is doing the same everything. Hmm. You understand? And it's because of how we were trained. And it's because the economy does not allow us to have a lot of people. But let's not talk too much about that.
Should we talk hip-hop in Africa and Nigeria, or should we push it further to another episode?
All right. And let's just do hip-hop in Africa and Nigeria.
Quickly.
So, I see
we both watched that Casper video.
Yeah.
With a lady called...
Guapele.
Mm-hmm. The song titled Destiny.
Destiny, yes.
Samples a group.
Malaika, Destiny.
Now, you see that video and you see it's on a different level.
Yeah.
The CGI.
Yeah.
That CGI. I don't think that's the CGI, but the technology.
No, that one is even small. VFX.
The FX and everything. Yeah. And then you see this is on a different level.
Yes.
And it's a hip-hop song. And it's a global standard video.
It's because of... they put their money where their mouth is.
I'm still talking. Casper showed off his fleet some, I think a few weeks ago on Twitter, and then you see the cars, Bentley, this, that. He's nasty.
Yeah.
He's making solid money.
Yeah.
And then I want to compare that to Nigeria. The biggest earner in Nigerian hip-hop is one of Olamide and MI.
Yeah.
Am I right or right?
Yes, yes. Those are the biggest earners.
And they are not on that level.
Well, Olamide is rich.
I don't know about Forbes list.
Olamide is rich.
I don't know about Forbes list and all that, but
Olamide is rich.
Long and short, they are rich.
But they are not as rich as those guys.
This conversation is about selling.
Yeah.
How do South Africans sell hip hop to their people and Nigerians cannot sell hip hop? I go to YouTube, I watch a lot of these artists. Payback, Boogie, Barely Any Hook, Paper Collion. Black Bones is branching out of hip hop and doing a lot of Rasta stuff. He needs it. It's understandable. Dremel is now the rapper with a sing song.
Mm.
It's understandable, and he has explained that clearly. I've heard that many times from him. So, what is the problem with Nigerian audiences? By the way, Nigerian folks are listening to Kanye West, Drake, J. Cole. We are jamming their albums steady.
I think it's because we're
yesterday around my area, someone was playing Lil Wayne's Carter 5 album. I'm like, why can't we? Because I'm in the mix too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to listen to Davies and forget Boogie and forget Payback, blah blah
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
Why are we not connected to hip hop? Why don't we buy it? Okay, let's say Nigerians generally don't buy albums, but they stream Wizkid, they stream Davido, they connect with Burna differently. But South Africans are able to sell 40,000 capacity stadium, a hip hop show by Casper, Narcissist Global based on hip hop, Questa featured Rick Ross based on hip hop. The only time we could feature Rick Ross here was Yemi Alade and P Square Afrobeats. What the is wrong with Nigerian hip-hop?
I think this is a talk for another day. I mean, like, but
this is a topic that I've not been able to understand.
I think what the problem is that we have not found that formula out yet.
Well, Nigerians,
because first things first, the Nigerian audience are ready for music like that. I mean, you remember that J. Cole show that happened at some point?
Yeah.
J. Cole released a song,
an album
3 days before. Or a week, and it was dead the next week. And these guys were singing word for word,
KOD album.
They were rapping word for word, and that's how big we are. But it's just, I feel like there's a whole lot going on. There's a formula.
Yeah,
I have a formula in my head that I think might work. But the thing is, that's probably one formula that somebody has thought about before, and maybe somebody. I might say the formula now. You're like, somebody has tried this before, didn't work. Mm. But the thing is, for hip hop, I think it has to be perfect.
Mm.
It has to be perfect. When I mean perfect, I don't mean perfect a certain way.
Yeah.
That pattern that you used to sell out the music.
Mm.
For South Africa, I don't want to talk about this now, but for South Africa, Kwaito did a whole lot for hip hop.
Okay.
Kwaito did a whole lot for their hip hop. Yes. The fact that they were already used to, we could actually mix sounds up and these guys could tell us stories a certain way.
Mm.
And it's our sound.
Mm.
This is our sound. So when you bring hip hop, the HHPs, the AKAs, the other guys, they're always having that element in their rap.
Mm.
So they accept the sound because it's theirs.
Mm.
So it's not like hip-hop anymore to them.
Yeah.
Every hip-hop sounds like Kwaito. the only few people that you can say do hip-hop,
and they speak a lot of their language.
And they are free to flow into it. And sometimes they even speak complete like English, but you see, okay, those ones, they vibe to it, but they don't vibe to it as much as those ones that have their... But I feel there's still a formula that has to be... There's still a formula that has to be, you know, implemented or tried that would make this thing happen well.
Okay, let's just leave that. But I think it's a conversation for another day.
No, we have to have this conversation. I feel like at some point we need to have this conversation.
I don't know. I wish, because at the end of the day, these guys are writers. Boogie is an elite writer.
I've known Boogie's music for about 6 years now.
Eight albums. He is a hard worker.
Whoa.
The last one I think was with Payback, alternate ending. Blah blah blah. So these guys are working.
Yeah.
I listen to barely any. I'm starting to get along with barely any Hooks music because of the verse he delivered on Payback's album, and it's nasty. But I'm like, yo, these guys are actually, because I put them on a stage where people like Quavo will perform, and I would easily want to listen to, or I would easily want to respect the bars delivered by barely any Hook than someone who is, you know, you get my point.
We're going to get there. Trust me, we're going to get there.
At the end
maybe
of the day,
maybe not now, but we're going to get there.
Everybody's rushing to Afrobeat.
But the thing is, we need to keep on working. That's the difference between. See, the thing is, there is no, and it's hard because, at the end of it all, I've thought about it several times. A lot of people are in music because of the love for the art, but money. So at some point, you get really tired.
Catch that.
They are in music for two things. Okay. The love of the art, which is few of them, especially rappers. Rappers are always there because they want to be able to speak lines talk stories.
Yeah.
But money is important.
Mm. Mm.
Maybe when we have proper record labels.
And that respect, because...
Respect hip-hop music.
Yeah.
Proper record labels.
And push it
as much as they push the Afrobeat.
Clearly, hip-hop artists, rappers have to dumb down.
Some of them don't want to. They think it's insulting.
And again, this is global.
Yeah.
Black Thought, Jada Kiss.
Yeah.
Both lyricists, but at some point, Jada Kiss in this recent album, Ignatius, had to do some, you know, let's step it down a little bit so the ladies can vibe to it, so it can be easier. But Black Thought can go on 7 minutes, spazzing out. Yeah, rah, rah, rah. Let's move on. Speaking of hip-hop, one of our quartet today is Tupac, the legend.
Yeah. So wait, you're still on to the Sample Access podcast, and this is episode 17. I'm sorry we just had to go off, like, for a while, because we needed it, you know, listening. This is one of our very special episodes. We have had, like, two different episodes where we talked about American music, and we said we're going to do that this season. So normally we're supposed to do this episode 18, but we decided to push it, you know, to be 17, so we can also do that. Maybe we can get to do at least two international, or two within
the last 10.
Yeah, so we can do two within the last 10. That's how it works. So we have two different kinds of genres today.
Yeah.
And
do we have just two or more than two?
More than two, actually. Because thinking about more than two.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm seeing there's hip hop, there's soft rock, there's
EDM,
and there's gospel. What's the word now? There's a word that I used for this man. Gospel soft rock.
What is gospel genre? Let's not go into that.
Okay. Yeah,
but
that's
then,
it.
When you say gospel, is it like a particular sound attached to the church?
Yeah, no, it's not particular. It's just like there's this thing about Bruce Hornsby that we're going to talk about today. Bruce Hornsby is one of the persons we have on the quartet.
Yeah.
And we have Tupac. Yes, Tupac. We're finally doing Tupac. And we have Susan Vega. Now, when I called the name, I'm sure a lot of people would not know who Susan Vega is, but like if you're someone that's been big on, you know, songs from like early 2000s, you probably know who Susan Vega is. Mm-hmm. And then there's David Guetta. Now, David Guetta, I'm sure for the EDM listeners, this is an amazing time for them, because they're like, oh yes, we're finally doing EDM.
David Guetta.
And Ava Max. This is not the first time we're doing EDM. We did iPhone 65. We're doing this one now. The first song to be analyzed, Amaru Shakur.
That's
Tupac on Changes. It sampled Bruce Hornsby, The Way It Is. Year 1986 for Bruce Hornsby, and Tupac recorded in 1992, but it was part of his posthumous album, which was called Greatest Hits, that was produced by Big Did Impossible and Trackmasters.
Now let's back up. Step by Step.
Yeah, Step by Step. There was a book I read in secondary school that was called Step by Step.
I read Piece by Pieces.
Nigerian bye.
Yeah. So is it a heavy episode? I think it is. Not so heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
It is because we're talking five people already.
Yeah. We're talking
all five of them.
One, two, three.
Two of them are kind of magical people.
Yeah.
When I say magical, Tupac is Abamyeda.
Yeah.
He's a magical person.
Yes.
And that lady called Susan Vega.
Ah, amazing.
She's like a muse. Something like that.
She's like Imogen Heap.
What's that?
Imogen Heap. She's an artist.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about Imogen Heap for a very short time.
Shopping.
When you start saying, I just have to think about it. Now, if you have seen any children's show in the US, there's an 85% chance she wrote the song.
Wrote?
Yeah, wrote and sang the song.
The score of a film like that?
If a children cartoon.
Okay.
So she's really great. And I know one song that everybody knows that she sang that people don't know. What you say?
Jason Derulo.
Yes, it was actually Jason Derulo sampled her.
Sampled her.
Yeah,
like she sang with.
Because I know, he just took her part. That part she sang that part. She's an amazing artist. When you talk about like evolution of music, you have to pull Imogen Heap into the conversation because of how good she is.
Susan Vega.
Back to Abamyeda.
So I'm talking about magical people. I think Tupac and Susan Vega. Even though Susan Vega
is not as popular,
even
as
though they are on different, you know,
levels and different types of music,
by just watching a video of her,
yes,
I knew she's like a muse. She's like a magical character,
yes,
something like that. That's for the two people. I don't know Bruce Hornsby that much, and I don't know that much of
Bruce Hornsby and the Rangers. Please let's say and the Rangers. So
and
they
the
don't
Rangers.
Get
I'm going to let you just do a brief talk on Bruce Hornsby before we get into the big talk. Just give us a background on these five people. Give us something on Bruce. And then David Guetta, I think I know a bit about his music. EDM featured Akon on one major song.
Yes, David Guetta. Beautiful. I knew David Guetta first from Titanium featuring Sia. So yeah, Bruce Hornsby. Bruce Hornsby, American songwriter, pianist. Pianist because he has this thing he does in his music. Solo. He just does that solo thing with his piano and it's really, really beautiful. He has been active since like 1974. Now, Bruce Hornsby's story is very, very funny, yeah? Because he has been active since 1974, but he didn't get to be registered or regarded as a new artist till 1987. Now that's a long time. That's about 13 years of hustling before he gets to that point. And that's one of the good things about music. Sometimes you just have to go on and just try and, you know, get yourself together. He has worked with all the greatest hit makers, talking about Huey Lewis, that's Power of Love, Bob Dylan, that a lot of us knows, Hall and Oates. They were really big in the 80s, and he has continued to make music to date, over about 20 albums, if I'm not mistaken. That man has loads of them. Okay, there are 20 major songs, but like his albums that are big, as about like Harbor Lights in 1993, Hot House in 1995, Spirit Trail in 1998, Greatest Radio Hits in 2004, and he's still releasing music till date. Bruce Hornsby. But this song that we are going to be talking about today, The Way It Is from 1986, is the biggest song in Bruce Hornsby's career because of what the song meant to everybody at the time. Now, like I said about Bruce Hornsby is like the perfect example for hustle pays in terms of Baba has been active since 1974,
yeah,
from the age of 20, but he didn't get regarded as a new artist till 1986.
He was on the ground for over 10,
that's over a decade. That's a very long time. And when you think
he kept making music.
Yes, he did. He was with a group before, switched back, went to another group, and then he was just I feel like he was finding himself, and at some point he became, you know, a registered guy, and everybody knew he was like, okay, Bruce Hornsby is a bad guy.
Who were his contemporaries at the time?
Hall and Oates. You have like Huey Lewis. I'm a big fan of Huey Lewis.
Are you talking genre folks now?
Yeah, I'm talking genre folks now, and people that he actually worked with. Because if you want to put him in perspective, I'm talking about 86. 86 is Atlantic Star. Yeah, 85 is Silver Shadows, but 86 is Atlantic Star. You're talking
Michael
about
Jackson.
Hall and Oates. Michael Jackson was still chilling. Michael Jackson was about to release Bad in 1987, so he was still on chills.
But there was something before that.
Yeah, there was something before that, and you know, for somebody like Bruce Hornsby, long career, man is still releasing music till date.
Oh.
Yeah, 2020 released a song.
How old?
An album. He was born 1954, so he should be 65.
Thereabout.
66.
Years old.
66, 67.
So he's still making music.
Yeah, and he's still making music. And it makes sense. I mean, we have people like that. It's nice that he's over 70 and still making music. We have Dionne Warwick, over 70, still making music.
Let's talk briefly about the other folks on the... So we're talking about David Guetta.
Yes, David Guetta.
Who is David Guetta? What is his legacy in EDM music?
He has been around for a while. So I think a lot of people, especially the recent, the people that listen to music like from recent times, talking about like from 2010 down to this point, you people all know David Guetta. David Guetta has, he has done it all basically. I remember the first time I saw a DJ on TV use a beat by Dre that actually lights up. And that was David Guetta. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And David Guetta has actually changed, because in his early days he used to have this weird corny hair that would look like the hair is all over his face, like the kind of hair that Jim Halpert had in The Office. That's anybody that's in The Office will understand what I'm saying. And he has been active since like I think 2010 was when I got to know how big he was. But like he has done stuff with Sia. Now Sia is the biggest star I think he has worked with that I know of.
I'm sure he's worked with Rihanna. If Rihanna is on the list, of course we know that.
Yeah, but the thing is, David Guetta is one of those, you know, like getting to know about EDM.
Yeah.
One of those times where I saw that people were crazed about a show. And all I was hearing was, dum, 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 dum. I'm like, what's going on? And you see this young man is alone with his, you know, with his mixers and, you know, his turntables. And he's standing in front of like 20,000 people that are going crazy. I'm talking before COVID.
Mm.
So let's know what we are saying. Like 20,000, 30,000 people going crazy over a sound. And I'm like, this is really, really cool. And you understand that, okay, yeah, he has been doing stuff for a while. People don't know this, but David Guetta has been on for a very long time. I like the people that we're doing today. Even though we didn't get to know him till like 2010, he had been hustling since like 2004.
David Guetta.
And I'm very sure a lot of people do not know that David Guetta was, you know, active from those years. Probably got to know about him like, you know, maybe later like that. And then David Guetta is obvious from his name. I think it's obvious from his name that he's French, right?
Before we get, I might be, I really don't know, but
sounds like he's French. Again, but he's French.
Eurodance, Europop.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of EDM, just a mention of the folks that I may have heard their music before. And I always tell you that EDM is the future of music, but you don't want to.
I don't know. I'm waiting to be like
Steve Aoki, Calvin Harris, Armin van Buuren. I think he's German. Of course, it has to be German. Clean Bandits, the Chainsmokers. These folks are like the
EDM guys.
EDM guys
that are doing the real
nasty
big
beats. Rest in peace, Avicii.
Yeah, Avicii.
So they are the ones who make the nasty beats and then all these things. So that's EDM. I'm sure on some other episodes
we'll talk about it. Yes. Now let's.
So one pair first.
Yeah. The pair we're talking about. Bruce Hornsby and The Way It Is becoming big. The Way It is a conscious song. And it was talking about, you know, segregation at the point, institutional racism, the problems of the society. And, you know, thinking about conscious music, I have a few people that I give big credit to. I'm a big fan of Marvin Gaye, like a big fan. And one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of Marvin Gaye is because Marvin Gaye's music, maybe the early part of his music was just, you know, enjoying yourself and being relaxed, but towards the end of his life he did amazing songs. I remember I released one whole album, What's Going On. That album had you know, conscious music all through, and you know, back-to-back songs about what was going on in the society. There was God Have Mercy, there was What's Going On, which is the particular song I love so much from the album. And this was around the time where people were releasing songs to talk about what was going on in the society. Segregation, institutional racism, equality being a problem, with beautiful tunes. Because I can tell you for sure, anybody, just take your time out if you're listening at the end of the, at the end of, when you finish with the podcast, just go on and listen to Bruce Hornsby, The Way It Is. It's an amazing song. I know we're going to play, but we're going to play just a snippet, so you should listen to the entire thing. And I'm sure you've heard it too, and you agree.
Solid song.
It's a beautiful song. And talking about, you know, where that song is coming from, I feel like Bruce Hornsby had seen several times what it is. Like, that's the way it is.
But he says
some things would never be the same.
Yeah.
And because it's a really deep song. Really deep song. And I know, I understand why
Park
was made to redo that song a certain way. Now, to put in perspective, Park recorded the song in 1992. I'm very sure any Park fan that's listening to this podcast knows Changes.
That's the first song I ever heard.
Oh wow, really?
Then
I'll tell you the first song I heard.
Maybe not the first, but it was like the most popular I heard over and over again. When Park conversations come up, maybe within my uncles or my egbons, the go-to song is Changes. And there were others, obviously. Letter to My Unborn Child.
Yeah.
Letter
to My Unborn Child. I have
Liberian. Oh, what am I saying?
Letter to My Unborn Child is not Liberian Girl, but like it's sampled Liberian Girl. I understand the mix up there.
Yeah.
The first song I heard from Park was Hit Them Up. That was the first song I heard Park. Hit Them Up. And I heard it and I was.
Of course.
I didn't know who he was.
This record, no.
I don't know who he was, but I'm like, whoa.
What's going on?
Because I had heard Rakim before Park. But at that time, I didn't understand the depth of Rakim.
Let's say Tupac fully, so that it's not like...
Yeah, like Tupac. I heard like... I don't know. I think for people that are very familiar, because someone like myself, I'm very familiar with Tupac stuff. That's why I call him Park now. Because, you know, I have this connection. Reason being that I've seen Tupac in movies.
Mm.
I've seen him do hardcore crazy songs. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to him in his softest of moments on Brunch, and I've seen a lot of stories. I've followed a lot of his interviews. I might just be a Park avid follower, but I'm not like the crazy one that would say, hey, I know this, I know when he was born, or I know what's going
on. You don't have his pictures on your wall.
I know. And then that's the thing.
I think we have gone past that age. Though.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
at some point as a young man, if you want to flex, flex.
That's the thing.
You need G units.
Yeah, G units. And I think I saw more of Tupac growing up, actually.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that I actually knew the man, but I didn't know who the man was or what's his content. And I found out like with time, and it was beautiful.
It's easier nowadays to find out anything. So Tupac picked an element from Bruce Hornsby's song and then made magic 6 years after.
And it just has to be pointed out that he didn't like make magic with this song. That was the producers coming into play to do something big and significant. And I feel like when you think about it now, you think some of them, Tupac's biggest songs are from his posthumous albums.
Yeah.
And that's why Abameda is the perfect word for him. So that means he had so much.
But not all the biggest songs.
No. Ain't Nothing But Gangsta Party. Brenna
Had a Baby.
And the song I'm talking about now is Two of America's Most Wanted.
Okay.
That had Snoop Dogg in it.
Mm.
That's what the first time I heard Snoop Dogg go hard on the song.
Yeah.
Even though Nothing But a G thing had that element in it, but this one was completely different.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about Tupac so much, which is one of the reasons why I like talking about him, is that he was very versatile.
Mm.
He was here for a short time, but he used that.
I mean, he was 25.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like someone like Tupac would say, I lived the life.
Mm.
He did it all.
All of it. He was in the streets.
He had money.
He spoke for people.
At some point, he was getting millions because he said it in that interview that he had in Sweden.
Mm.
He said, there was a time I was making money for this record labels, time I was making money for these movie companies. Now I'm making money for myself.
Mm.
I have millions. I can say, okay, this is the money I have. And
there's one popular interview where he said, we're going to start a bank.
And you know, Tupac had it all, because when you think about, like, you know, some of his interviews, they were really, really smart. I remember one of the videos I can remember very well, where an interviewer was asking him what he was reading at the moment, and he was saying, I was reading something on Stalin as Russia president at the time, USSR president at the time, and he was saying, okay, I have other books on this person, Napoleon Bonaparte. You know, this is someone that is very, very sound.
Mm.
He, like, if reading books alone makes you sound, he was as sound as sound could be.
Yeah.
Because he would take over every conversation.
Mm.
Like every interview,
had something to say.
Every interview he knew what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
Even the interview that blew my mind the most about Tupac, which shows why, that's why when he talks about changes, when he talks about what he was talking about, the changes, the problems of the society at the time, you know, he was talking from a place of
knowledge,
what he was talking about. He understood the problems that people, you know, that's why there's this thing that happens. I don't know why I want to talk about this person, but I'll just say, there's this thing that happens with people sometimes. Someone like Dua Lipa now, she can't really understand. She will understand hard work, but she can't really understand the hustle. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Someone like Bruno Mars understands the hustle.
He's been there.
I got here by luck. That's what he would tell some, like someone like that would tell you, as I take Ridge, I know reason I'm.
Yeah.
Someone like Tupac would tell you the same thing, but Tupac would say, I didn't get here by luck. I sat down, I checked my SWOT analysis. I worked myself off. I said, I'm going to get to this place. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to take 5, 6, 7 years. I'm going to be on the street. I'm not going to be a bad person. I'm going to go on. There's one thing he said. He said he believes that good things always happen to people who remain good. Now, that you know, Tupac has a lot of quotes that if you listen to him. And then, you know, there was one part that I was just, before I digressed, there was this part I saw an interview of someone where he went to, he was supposed to be taken to jail because he had sodomy sex with somebody, and you could see the confidence. You don't see people don't have confidence like that. Like, you know, when you're in jail, everybody's like, oh, okay, even if you are innocent, you don't want to talk because you know, confidence. That fella confidence. He stood and the man was telling me, man, he's like, they should ask the girl. That was she, you know, there was this confidence, and then he switched from talking about his problem
to society's
and problem. Then he talked about, see the way that I'm being treated. If it was a white person, they would listen to me more clearly. But because I'm black, because my skin is black, because I'm a rapper and you expect me to be a gangster, you think I can't be nice to a lady because of you see me a certain way. Now, Tupac was a movement.
Enough talk about Tupac sampling Bruce Hornsby. That name gives me stress.
Bruce Hornsby. I'm going to tell you the truth. I had to check Google to learn how to pronounce the name.
I mean, it's not...
Hornsby.
So yeah, David Guetta, Eva Max.
Yeah.
Suzanne... Vega.
This one is a weird flex for me.
We're going to run the four tracks and then, you know, talk about everything because time is already not on our side.
Yes.
Run all the talk and then play the samples, the snippets.
Yes, Suzanne Vega. This one is a weird flex for me because this has like four songs in it. We're not talking about one of the songs because we don't have the time. But DNA did something with Suzanne Vega's Tom's Diner. The original song came out in 1987.
Who's Suzanne Vega? We were trying to talk about her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's also a magical person.
Yeah, magical person because Suzanne Vega is one of those artists where...
She's a musician, most of
them. She's a musician, yes,
is
but
she
like
a Dr. Alban?
No.
Dr. Alban was not exactly a musician.
Suzanne knows how to sing.
Did she set out to do music? That's the point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think she did. She wanted to do music. But she's kind of like the hustler that we're talking about, too. You know, she waited at tables, which is what most people did at the point, you know, to get, you know, get by. And she really had it tough as well. And she just continued to do songs in a soulful way. You know, a kind of music is what you call alternative rock or folk rock. Okay. Now, that's the first time I heard of the word folk rock. I don't know a lot of people that do folk rock, but we have people like, you know, maybe Shao Colvin, Sparkle House, Danger Mouse. So that's like, you know, names that you're not even very familiar with. But like, she had a couple of hits, you know, from the 80s to the 90s. You have Left of Center, Luca, No Cheap Thrill, then Tom's Diner. Now, Tom's Diner, right? This song has a background story of its own. And I know you know the background story too. She did the song as an a cappella version in her album in 1987. Now, that 1987 album was just, that a cappella was just the finish of the album.
Can we sink in this idea? Because it's strange nowadays
that
when beats do the magic, just decide to leave an a cappella.
Yeah. She just said, and Solitude Standing. And you see, that's the thing. She's doing folk rock. So there's a vibe.
It's allowed to be weird.
Yeah, you have the opportunity. Like we said, she's a magical being. She's going to do whatever she wants to do.
Just a cappella, no.
Yeah, like, okay, you know what?
And every other song on the album had beats.
But that song is just, you know what, I'm going to do
that. And that's the destiny of the song. It later took on.
Exactly. She said it was because she had always wanted to put that song part of her album. So, like, you know all those songs you have in your mind? I mean, she had already been active since 82. But, like, you know, there's always one... It's like this. Maybe you wrote one song as an artist. Maybe your early days as an artist, you wrote one song that was, that to you, was particularly impactful, and you loved the idea. Maybe that song was your muse to do music, and then you just kept on pushing forward, and then at some point you just say, okay, I've had like what, how many albums out now? Maybe two or one. So okay, let me look for a way to just put it in. I mean, in Suzanne Vega's
put it in like techno.
Yeah, right. In Suzanne Vega's own way, she already had one album out at the point, which was called Suzanne Vega, which is particular with a lot of artists. I'm sure you know, I've talked about that part before, where we have like a lot of artists naming their albums with their name,
with their name.
Yeah, so self-titled album. Yeah, she did that, and then she went on to do Solitude Stand. Solitude Stand is actually a very good album. There are like three major songs that are picked from there, and she did Tom's Diner just as an addition. But the thing is, Tom's Diner was popular. People liked the idea
as
of
an
song.
Acapella.
Yeah, they liked
and it
the
got
song.
Bigger. Let's move forward quickly. It got bigger when them DNA.
Yeah, DNA came together to feature her, which is weird. Mm. But the simpleness and complexity of this song is weird. Now, Soul to Soul, known for their major hit "Back to Life, Back to Reality," they had a song "Keep on Moving On." Now they took that beat, they looped the last part of Tom's Diner, the original version.
Okay.
They added it to the beat, then they laced her song on the beat.
The last part of Tom's Diner is an a cappella. What's it called in music? Nowadays they call you vibing.
Okay, vibing.
But
yeah.
in old music, I'm sure there's something it's called.
Yeah.
DNA essentially created a beat for an a cappella.
Yes.
Susan Vega did years before that.
And it blew up.
So the sample that we are picking out because of time is now David Guetta and Eva Max in what year?
2018.
In 2018, made a song, essentially a sweet, joyful love EDM song.
Yes, let it be. Let it be me.
And they picked that part.
That same part that was looped last.
That musical vibe.
Yeah,
it was part of the chorus of the song. Eva Max, how much do we know about her? She's part of the Selena Gomez generation.
I don't know so much. I've heard about her a lot. But like I'm not a big fan of her music yet.
I like the divas in music. I just appreciate that.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
There are a lot of them doing amazing.
Why don't we have a conversation of who do you think is the biggest female artist in Nigerian history, music history?
That's a different conversation. But I was trying to talk about them divas, them Ariana Grande, Selena Gomez.
Yeah, those girls are those women are great.
Marina Gaye. Now I'm loving Dua Lipa. I'm going to check out a lot of Dua Lipa's music now.
Yeah, Dua Lipa's only been good.
Now that I have heard Levitating with that baby, it's nasty.
Yeah, nasty.
Check more.
I'm very sure that video is going to hit 1 billion soon.
But the question you asked, I think that's a good place to wrap up before we play the songs.
Yes.
The greatest
female
artist
in Nigerian history.
In Nigerian history.
Now, let's
do this.
That's
like saying of all time.
Say 3 or 4.
Wow, that's a lot, bro.
It's a lot.
Because
I don't know why people like to have conversations like this.
When I say it's a lot, will you start to check generations? Are we talking them Oladunni Decency generation?
Is it the Lijadu sisters?
Are we talking them Vena Marioge?
Yeah. Are we talking Obionyoha?
Uh-huh.
Are we talking Theodora?
Are we talking
Ifudu?
Salawa Abeni?
Are we saying Ese Agese?
Are we talking Evyedna Ogoli?
You see.
Are we talking Tiwa Savage, Yemi Alade?
Please, let's stop this conversation.
Are we talking Tems Generation?
Let's stop this thing.
The question is, we have to break down the question.
Yes, it has to be broken down.
So,
it has to be broken down.
But nowadays, in this new generation, we see what Tiwa Savage is doing.
Yeah.
We see what Yemi Alade is doing on the global scale. We see what Nini Ola is doing with the unique Afro House vibe.
Yeah.
And then we see a lot of other folks in that space. Simi is amazing.
Amazing.
Again, when the question comes about who is the best, there's always fight.
Yeah.
So let's just save it for another day and see how this generation goes.
Is there a way we can always have conversation like that, but like differently? I don't like the approach. And the thing is, you said something today that I heard. You were saying it to somebody. You said we throw around the word
legend
too much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I have that feeling. Now, this new guy is on the block. I'm a new guy too, because you can see me. You can't see me, but you can hear my voice. I'm not...
You can literally see me.
Okay, yeah, because there's a video camera in front of me. But like, if you could see me or you know who I am, you know I'm not 30 yet. I'm not 34. I'm not 35. Yeah. So I'm still a young man. But I'm like, my generation like to just assume because a guy is good 2 years ago, he's the greatest of all time. Yeah, you just come and you're like, you want to have. And the thing is, I feel like even if somebody in my stage where I have probably done a couple of research and I know a couple of music, I don't know all music, but I know a couple of music, maybe one third of Nigerian music catalog and how it looks like. And then I'm still scared to have conversations like that. Because I'm like, you can't put me in a room with Westco and they're talking music and I'll talk. I'm just going to sit and I'll be looking at me and enjoy what's going on.
Westco will just talk about going to fellas shows, exactly. Flying the fence. That experience is different.
Yeah, and these going people, to these people and actually know music. They will tell you, okay, this guy, I saw Ijo Yopi recently.
Band members.
The first album Ijo cover. There's one Ijo Yopi.
Before, maybe
by Kwam.
Wow.
Yes, I saw the album art. Kwam was so young. He had jumpers on. Jumpers. Now, somebody, you know.
You mean suspenders?
No, jumpers, jumper jackets. Okay. Like the jean jumper jacket that we have. The ones they used to rock in the 90s. The Tupacs rocked in the 90s. You get it? So, I'm like, wow, this is really cool. Yeah. You never see people like that differently.
Speaking of Nigerian music, there is a lot of old Nigerian music that we're not exploring.
Loads.
We just found out Tunde Nightingale. That has bounced into this generation in a way, you know, we're going to treat
explore
that very
that
soon.
At some point.
And then, you know, folks like, I talked about Fabulous Fajemi Rukun. I talked about Dayo Kujore. There are a lot of them who are lost in the mix. I recently learned about
DZK.
Professor YK Ajao. He was in the Sunny Ade, Ebenezer Obi generation.
Can you imagine?
Juju music, but we don't know about him.
Yeah.
So a lot of our music is lost in history. We can find
I mean, we have not talked about Victor Iwaifu.
Yeah, look at those. So, good place to wrap up. Let's play those songs. All right, production credits.
Yeah, production credits. I take them real fast. Bruce Hornsby, The Way It Is, year 1986. Producer, Bruce Hornsby and Elliot Strainer. And the album, The Way It Is. Tupac, Changes, recorded in 1992, released in 1998. Producers, Big D, The Impossible, and The Trackmasters. From the album, Greatest Hits. Now we have DNA featuring Susan Vega. Now Susan Vega's original album was released 1987. The album's name is Solitude Standing, but this album was for DNA called Taste This Weird. Now we have Steve Adabo and Lenny Kenji and DNA. Now David Guetta featuring Ava Max was released on the album 7 with David Guetta and Secute being the producers, the year 2018.
Find Boyega Adeoya on social media. I'm back on Twitter after 1 week. Boyega _ Adeoya.
Wow. I didn't expect you to say that, but wow.
Follow my Instagram. I just posted one picture ever. I've posted some pictures. I deleted them, so I've posted one more picture. Go and like it. at Boyega Adeoya. Follow my TikTok, Boyega Adeoya. I'm there. I've not posted anything. Follow my LinkedIn, Boyega Adeoya. Follow me on Facebook or like me on Facebook. Let's be friends on Facebook. Boyega Adeoya. What other platform is there? I'm not on
MySpace.
Twitter, I'm not on Snapchat. I'm
MySpace.
But Twitter is the king of all social media.
Clubhouse. Okay. Not
it. See, Twitter Spaces is here.
Yeah, okay.
And then Clubhouse is... I don't know. I feel Clubhouse should be able to sue Twitter for that thing. Because that's like dropping their markets.
But this market stuff is weird. It's weird.
But then you can't even hold them. You created Clubhouse. Mm. You didn't make for 100 people.
Yeah.
And then 100 people will now be hearing gist on Twitter.
How Clubhouse is doing.
And then Twitter saw that void.
And they decided to do something.
They did Twitter Spaces.
Yeah. Catch me up on Twitter at @NWAERIE_N. And on Instagram at @NWAERIE.Nelson. On Facebook, my name is Nelson, NWAERIE. On LinkedIn.
Yeah, not on LinkedIn.
Am actually, but like my LinkedIn is not official yet.
Corporate people finesse everybody.
It's not official. Yeah, corporate people finesse everybody. So this is the Sample Access Podcast, episode 17.
We're out.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega and Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
jaw. The man in the silk suit hurries by as he catches the poor old lady's eyes. Just for fun, he says, get a job. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe them.
Administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
Administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.